Hello guys, welcome, thank you for downloading, thank you for the follows on Instagram and support. You can follow the show there at Joe Rogan Experience Review at Instagram or whatever the thing is, but the link is in the kind of, you know, description for this show, and you can email me whatever you want, questions, comments, you name it. So last week, Joe was hunting in Lanai for axis deer, which sounds fucking badass, and I would love to do that. I don't know how he got on. I'm sure he got something. Usually does, but seems like a good time. And what I've been doing when he heads out on kind of like a week off vacation or whatever is I go back and I look at some classic JREs to review. I've only done one before, and that was the very first episode, the very first JRE. And this time around, I wanted to do podcast 138 with Anthony Bourdain. Obviously, Anthony has passed. He committed suicide, I think, was it this year, earlier this year? I'm not sure exactly, but he passed away. And I just want to do a bit of a tribute to him because it was an excellent podcast. I really enjoyed it, and it was the first time I got a really intimate, close look, you know, to listen to what the man had to say. Anyway, let's start the review. All right, classic JRE review time. Again, for people that have not listened to this one, it's a very old one. It's podcast 138. I recommend going back and listening to it. It is really good. And I try to find that they're always my very favorite episodes when I'm doing a classic. And I have a list of like five that I'll pick forward on. But if anyone out there wants me to do one in particular from the past that they really enjoyed, and, you know, just to throw my two cents at and see if it lines up with yours, or maybe I picked up some things that you didn't see or vice versa, let me know. You know, shoot me a message and I can always check one of those out for sure. I love listening to any ones of the old ones from the past. Anthony's an interesting guy because he didn't really get famous until he was like 44 years old, right? Which is a lot later in life, and especially for how famous he got, how well-known he became. That's fairly unusual and pretty inspiring stuff. I know it's rarer that people will have that happen to them, but very cool, you know. So even up until that age, he really hadn't traveled all that much in the world. And, I mean, his life and experiences after that point were just, I mean, exponential change. It just, wow, good for him. You know, he had his show that was out. He had a couple. Very, very good. What were the names of his shows? Without Borders, and then the other one, shit, blanking. But both of them were fantastic and so different than any other type of cooking show. I mean, it really was like Hunter S. Thompson-esque, with like his delivery and his narration. His narration was always incredible. I mean, there was no way you could ever replace him on that show. There even was some talk after his suicide that they would see if Gordon Ramsay would want to do it, and just, it was immediately shut down. I mean, it just wouldn't have made any sense at all. You couldn't have even got close, you know. And I don't want to take anything away from Gordon Ramsay, he's just a completely different character, you know, to play that. What was really nice about his show is that the producers left him alone. They really gave him a lot of freedom, he talks about, to just kind of do his own thing. And obviously Joe loves that, you know, that it's a big part of the inspiration that he had to make his podcast and kind of create his life the way that he's done. So it resonated with him, and the podcast 138, I think, was back in maybe 2010. I think is when they did that podcast, maybe 10 or 11. I guess if he started in, I don't know when it was. It wasn't that long into the life of JRE though, really. And though he wasn't doing as many back then, so maybe it was a couple of years in. But either way, It was when his podcast wasn't that big and Anthony's show was huge, one of the biggest ones on TV. So for him to have the freedom that he did was very unusual. Most shows were nothing like that, had a lot of producer input, and just there was no level of freedom like Anthony had. And with that freedom, he was able to make his show just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. Close team of people that he worked with, real close. Even after his death, one of the camera guys contacted Joe and came on the JRE to discuss it, and I did a review of that, and that was really enlightening and a sad one. But basically how he would figure out where he was going to go and get hooked up with the local people is he would reach out to food bloggers, right? So every country has food bloggers, and he would just reach out to them, say he was coming, and they kind of set everything up with like the best restaurants, the people to meet, what the culture was. And that's what was so beautiful about his show, is it wasn't just the food. It was primarily the food, but I mean, also how the food wrapped into the culture and what the history of that place meant. And his narration really brought it to life. I mean, it just added so much color that it was almost like you'd been there when you watched the show. And it definitely always made you hungry. For sure. For sure. Joe does what he always does, or mostly does in classic fashion. Brings up some giant ape story called a Bondo ape that is like 6 foot tall and eats jaguars. And it just kind of pops out of nowhere. But what was good about it is it brought up that Anthony sometimes on his show will hunt and shoot animals. And then they use the meat and et cetera. And people would get a little mad at him. He said it wasn't too bad. You know, the outcry of hate wasn't great. It wasn't huge. Obviously, Peter would get upset and some things like that. But he kind of would shoot guns on the show quite often. And especially with the hunting portion, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, if it wouldn't be weird to have a show where you're cooking some fish and you go fishing for it first. I think I saw a Gordon Ramsay show once where he was doing the that catfish fishing, and then later on the show they cooked it. Now, sure, it's not as dramatic as like shooting a deer and then cooking that, but I mean, it's all kind of like the same thing. If that's that culture's way of getting the meat, isn't it the most honest representation? It's just to show that you can always choose not to watch the show if you don't like it. It just seems reasonable. He did talk about a really cool bar in Cambodia where you can go and drink and get hammered and shoot guns. You just kind of pay for it all, and it just happens. And that, to me, sounded like a great time. Dangerous, obviously. I wouldn't recommend it for everyone. But what a wild little place that Cambodian bar must be. A little nuts there. It was interesting to hear what his favorite meal was. His very favorite meal is a bone marrow and bread. Like cooked bone marrow and bread. If you've never had that, I've had that a couple of times. In fact, my girlfriend's father is a huge fan of it. And I think that's because he's Vietnamese, and I think it's a Vietnamese dish, which is something that Bourdain brings up later. Like, his two favorite countries are really Spain and Vietnam. And Vietnam especially just for the culture and the food. And he had a really interesting thing to say about Vietnam, which I liked a lot. Because Joe was like, are they still mad at us, you know? Us being Americans and the, you know, because of the war. And Anthony said something that I'd never really even thought about. But it was just like, no, because since then they've been in a war, I think, with like the Russians and maybe like the Chinese twice. And it's just a lot of shit going on over there. They're at war all the time. So they're not hung up on it. And I think that adds to the beauty of what that place is. And I would love to go. I really would love to head over there and yeah, eat some bone marrow. That would be great. Some personal stuff about Anthony. His wife is a huge jiu-jitsu practitioner and a fan of UFC and all the rest of it. Later on in his life, after this podcast, she did get Anthony into jiu-jitsu, of which he was really a big fan of. He loved it and was a massive jiu-jitsu practitioner, you know, much later in life, and just obsessed, you know, I'm sure his wife was the motivation behind it. And it's just cool to see that he gets inspired in that way. And like I said earlier, with his narration for his show, Hunter S. Thompson was a huge influence for Anthony, you know, growing up and being a writer and influenced his writing. And you can definitely hear that with the way that he narrates his show. And, you know, Parts Untold and just how he kind of wraps everything together. It's such beautiful poetry with the way that he described things, which is good. It makes sense because there's art in the food, you know, like Joe even says he never really looked at food as art before. It's like temporary art that you eat. So why shouldn't it be told and described with a kind of poetry, which is pretty awesome. They get into some foods on there. Elk meat. He likes elk meat. He likes elk liver for sure. Some foie gras, which is the duck liver one where they kind of force feed him. I don't think I've ever had that. I don't really eat that type of super fancy places anyway. But they said that it was delicious. They love it. I guess they were saying that they were banning it in California too. And since I live in California, maybe I can't eat that now. But I'd like to try it after he said that. I would like to. Any vegetarians out there, I apologize. I'm sure you're not loving most of this conversation. But yeah, they even talk about vegetarianism and what it is. And then they just go back to talking about how great steak is. And, you know, just saying just eat meat. They're not... both Joe and Anthony are not vegetarians, obviously. You can be. Do it if you want to. I was a vegetarian for the first 14 years of my life. And then basically I moved to America and I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they didn't have a lot of vegetarian choices. So it just slowly became something that I just started eating some meat. I mean, it was more kind of necessity. I mean, I found myself eating French fries like every day, just like pretty much all the time. I was like, I don't know what else to have. Yeah, but we're not limited now. There's plenty of vegetarian options. Go eat some. One thing he talked about, which was cool, is the breaking of bread with someone. Like, you connect over food like nothing else. And maybe that's a bit of an art form that we've lost. Like, we don't connect all that much anymore over food. Like, it's kind of skipped over. And I think that is a beautiful thing, a beautiful way of describing things. A funny thing that he talks about is if he had the power, like became president or whatever, one of the first things he'd do is create an In-N-Out, get In-N-Out into New York City. I don't know why In-N-Out is just on the West Coast. I mean, I'm very fortunate. There's one just like about a mile from my house. I absolutely love them. It is delicious. If you've never had an In-N-Out and you get to a place where they have them, I think Arizona has them along the freeway, like the I-40 or whatever runs across there. I know Nevada does because they got them in Vegas and then California, not sure where else, but you gotta try, if you're into burgers, try those. For a fast food burger, it really is the best. I'm a huge fan of that, and yeah, it's so good. Bourdain was very popular in his life, and even back in this time he wasn't a comedian, but he wrote books. And he would go on book tours. And one thing he said is that his book tours, the crowds got so big, they started booking him in like larger places and like theaters, like not auditoriums, or maybe, but like a theater space. And it just became this huge Q&A with like a bit of a, maybe like an hour of what he described as stand up, and then followed by, you know, a bit of a Q&A. And it's like similar to what Joe does. And I love that transition. I love that he just kind of fell into this and that people were willing to go and watch. I know if he had come to town, I would have definitely gone. He's such a fascinating guy. I would have loved to have got a ticket for that. And how fascinating a talk that must have been with such a cool dude. But anyway, thanks for downloading this one. Check it out if you're interested. It's podcast 138. And... you know, it's an homage to the man. Anthony, we miss you. You are missed, and you were a fantastically cool and fucking awesome dude. So thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day. Peace.